Good morning. You're listening to WYLL AM 580. And now with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris. And good Tuesday morning, everyone. The DuPont Company today says that its net income more than doubled in the first quarter on strong results by its agricultural unit. DuPont reported net income of $3.3 billion, or $3.58 per share, for the quarter ending March 31st. That's up from $1.49 billion, or $1.58 per share a year earlier. Revenue increased 2% to $10.4 billion, and agricultural operating earnings increased 13% to a record $1.5 billion. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sale of 392,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. The 13-14 marketing year for soybeans will begin on September 1st. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report. USDA says that 4% of the corn crop is planted. That's down from the five-year average of 16%. 1% or less of the crop has been planted in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and North and South Dakota. Also, the DTN Crop Conditions Index report has come in for winter wheat. It shows the rating falling from 260 from 67 the week before, but that report does not take into account all the possible freeze damage that we've seen in the last week in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Longtime Will Ag analyst and business partner Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal says that Illinois public media agriculture quickly gives you the crucial information you need in very changing market conditions.
It takes a lot of heat off us, per se, whenever there is some news or information. You're there to provide it. It sort of helps the information flow to the people who are interested in it. And then we think you guys do a real good job, and I hate to see you fall victim to funding cuts and these other programs that's been become antiques or retired. And so we'd like to keep you going there, Dave, so you can keep people informed what's going on, news and information-wise.
WILL Agriculture has helped you sort out some marketing decisions. And what has been a volatile marketing futures market over the last year? Please consider making a pledge of financial support right now. Call 217-244-9455 and help us keep timely and dependable market analysis heading your way. Les Schulte alongside, and it's not just what we say on the air. We have a lot of ways that people can get our information.
That's right, Dave. We've really expanded this service to go just beyond what you hear on the air. We have information on our phone service. If you want to pick up the phone and get information that way, we have a website. We have downloadable MP3 files. We have podcasts on demand. These are all made available because the friends of WILL who appreciate these services come on board at times like these and make those pledges of support and give us the power to be able to report the agricultural news and expand these services. So why don't you join the folks who've already made contributions during this drive, during drives before, and make your pledge call. Make that pledge at 217-244-9455 in any amount, but is greatly appreciated, and especially right now, because if you can make that pledge of support for WILL and mention agriculture, we have a special agricultural fund challenge going on. If we hear from at least 150 pledges this week, that mention WILL Ag, we can add $3,700.
Oh, wow.
That's $3,700 to our pledge total. We want to thank the folks at Risk Management Commodities and the Andersons for helping to put this fund together. And they encourage you to make that call and make that pledge. Follow their lead and support the services that you use at WILL. The number to call is 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org.
You know, $3,700 less is the most dollars that we've ever, mm-hmm. at least in the time I've been in this seat, and I've been in this seat now almost 10 years, the most ever that we've had for an agricultural challenge. And I have got to tell you, we can do marvelous, just marvelous things for our agriculture audience with that kind of a gift. So I really do encourage you to be part of that, to give us a call at 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. There are many also thank you gifts if you wish to have one of those, including our really, really spiffy new agricultural hat. It's a white hat, blue lettering on it. I call it my go-to-church-on-Sunday hat.
Oh,
because
wow.
it's that nice.
Oh, you're just going to want to put this aside for special occasions, right?
That's right. It's my go-to-church-on-Sunday hat, 217-244-9455. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Concern over the poor drying conditions across the Midwest will continue as we move forward through this next full week, and it's not going to help matters that we have three new precipitation events that will occur across the region. While temperatures are still starting off this week rather cool, we are expecting to see a disturbance moving through the Midwest here later today and into the day tomorrow. The two-day event is likely to produce rain in quite a few areas from southeastern Iowa and back into Missouri and Kansas, all the way through the eastern Midwest. Already in the last 24 hours, we've seen some precipitation further to the northwest of this. The precipitation is not going to be heavy necessarily, but on top of saturated soil, it's not going to help matters one bit. We still need to see a drier biased environment in order to support corn planting and other field work in general. We're just not going to see that kind of consistent dryness for a while. One of the big factors that will likely help improve the situation in the Midwest will be a warming trend that will occur this coming weekend and into early next week. More 60 and 70 degree high temperatures are likely to occur across the region at that, along with a more, perhaps a little bit less frequent, less significant precipitation pattern should result in a better drying environment between rain events, and that should help us get back into some of these fields. Aggressive field work where we can have several days on end of unlimited access to the fields, that's probably not going to be coming right away. But perhaps at least we'll move baby steps towards a better end to where we are today. Field work will likely be most limited in the lower parts of the Midwest because of the precipitation that comes up here in the next few days. We are expecting that frontal system tomorrow across the lower parts of the region, and we'll see a follow-up disturbance will occur from Friday into Saturday coming out of Kansas and moving right across the Ohio River Basin. So these two events combined will likely limit any kind of serious planting progress. We'll expect to see temperatures staying rather cool here until the second disturbance passes along and out of the region. And by cool, we're still looking at a lot of those temperatures in the afternoons, failing to get much warmer than 50s, and quite a few 40s will occur across a fairly large portion of the region. Now, we do expect to see temperatures turn notably warmer as we move forward into the weekend and next week. As I mentioned before, a lot of 60 and 70 degree highs are likely to evolve. But this afternoon, some of the western Corn Belt will not even get out of the 40s, and that's just crazy for this time of the year. In contrast to that, though, we'll be in the 70s in parts of Ohio and southeastern Indiana and portions of Kentucky ahead of the cold front that will bring them rain tomorrow. And that's why we believe there's still a chance for a little bit of field work in those areas before the cold front arrives, but that's going to be about the only area. We'll expect more field work in the Delta and the southeastern states over these next few days, but they too will see a disruption because of the precipitation that's likely to come and go. High temperatures across the Midwest tomorrow afternoon will be mostly in the 40s and 50s, so most everybody will be fairly cool. We'll look for high temperatures on Thursday afternoon, still 40s and 50s in the north, but 60s will show up more often in the southwest. And we'll also look for readings mostly in the 60s across a big part of the Midwest on Friday afternoon before we start seeing 60 and 70 degree readings, like I said, over the weekend into early next week. The low temperatures at night are expected to fall back into 20s and 30s overnight tonight, with the exception of the Ohio River Basin, where some 40s are likely. 20s and 30s will be common in all areas on Thursday morning, and some frost may occur across portions of Illinois, Missouri, and some immediate neighboring areas down as far south as the Northern Delta. We do not expect permanent crop damage to come out of this, but a little vegetative development will be burned back. A greater amount of frost and freeze conditions will likely possibly threaten a more significant damage to portions of Kansas and Oklahoma overnight tonight as cold air settles into those areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey. Your dream, our promise.
Let's look and see how futures are trading in Kansas City May wheat. 736¾, down 2¾. May wheat in Chicago at 692¼, down 10. May corn, 641½, down 4½. December at 520 is down 13. May soybeans, 1421¼, up 4. November at 1195, down 7¾. May soybean meal, 412.80, up 280. And May soybean oil at 48.34, and it's down 28. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
Fast-moving market this morning, and we were hopeful for a turn around Tuesday in the corn pit, but we don't seem to have that.
Not just yet. Traders are looking at a little warmer forecast. As we move down the road, we'll see how much moisture develops here in this system coming across the Midwest here today and tonight. But for the most part, a little bit of optimism that here next week we'll see some areas be able to put some corn into the ground and get the process moving along. But there's just not a whole lot of outside news or bullish enthusiasm whatsoever. Investor confidence just is not that spectacular in the grain market just yet.
The one bright spot seems to be soybean meal prices.
Yeah, we continue to see some demand there. Hopefully that'll spill over to the other complex there, but it just puts the urgency on end users such as the feeder coming forward here and gathering some inventory, for some domestic feed use. Then also, too, we're seeing a little bit of export business in the products as Asia continues to have to meet their quota to gather protein needs to feed their country.
What do you make of the idea that Brazil may get their ports open 24 hours? Do you think it really will happen?
Well, they're going to do their best to get grain out of the Southern Hemisphere. If you look at the overall big picture on exports, May is a big month for exports out of the Southern Hemisphere. They're a competitor, and they're going to do what they can do to be competitive. There's a lot of interest from countries in getting, especially Asia, getting grain out of the Southern Hemisphere. So, it's going to work out. It's part of the world trade, and they're going to be our competition. Well, has been and always will be.
Producers will be going to the field soon, maybe as soon as the weekend, maybe next week for sure. Should they be doing something if they haven't done anything ahead of going to the fields?
Well, as far as marketing goes, we did a lot of outlook meetings this winter and did a lot of meetings, pertaining to risk management. And at this point in time, downside risk in these corn. We stay below this 5.25 area. It's going to be $5 and 4.75. Bean wise, we stay below this $12 level. It's going to open the door to $11, and that's sort of the downside risk here over the near term. Weather's going to be a factor, but yes, as producers, we said before, risk is to the downside, and we continue to implement strategies of putting a price floor under you. That way we move on lower and through here. You've got some downside protection. If the weather would change down the road, you have the opportunity to market grain. Probably the number one positive response from this strategy is we feel basis will improve going in this fall, and it gives you the flexibility to pick that up. That does not mean the market will be higher, but you should be able to pick up 20 to 25 cents in basis improvement as we move into the fall.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
All right, take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. I just reflected on on what Kurt was saying about basisless. That kind of information can help you in your bottom line in a market that's changing and as we say, the risk to the downside.
Absolutely. And that's what we're all about here is giving the agricultural producer the information they need to make good decisions. And if you think that's important and if we're one of the places that you turn to find that information, call right now and support us at 217-244-9455. A reminder, we have an Ag Challenge going on, $3,700 in the Ag Challenge. When we hear from 150 people who mention Ag as one of the services they support, why don't you be one of those people who call and make that contribution? Strategic Farm Marketing and Ag Review of Morton, we want to thank them for helping put the challenge together. And the next five calls are going to help us meet our Morning Edition goal, too.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM.